May the Lord help us to commence this evening with the first five verses of hymn 780. We'll hope to sing the rest for our middle hymn. 780, verses 1 to 5. Come, my soul, and let us try for a little season every burden to lay by. Come and let us reason, what is this that casts thee down? Who are those that grieve thee? Speak and let the worst be known. Speaking may relieve thee. 780, verses 1 to 5.
Thank you. from the Holy Word of God. Let us turn this evening to read in the first book of Kings, and reading chapter 19. The first book of Kings, and chapter 19. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him, and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baken on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave, and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountain, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, and went out, and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him, and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And he came, and it shall come to pass, that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So he departed thence, and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was ploughing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him, and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen, and ran after Elijah, and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him, and took a yoke of oxen, and slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy and sacred word unto us each. May he help us now to pray. O thou most holy and most gracious God, how can we, in all our sin and shame, approach unto thee, even this night? Lord, we come pleading the name of Jesus and his sin-atoning blood. Or may it be him instead of us is seen, as we now approach to thee, our God. Lord, what are we that thou shouldst be mindful of us? Lord, we are unworthy of the least of thy mercies, yet we need them all. For Lord, without thy mercy we cannot live here. Sin would, take us and bring us to utter despair. But, Lord, do give us the power and influence of thy Spirit to reveal in us the glorious work of salvation that is in and through Jesus Christ. And give us that precious grace of faith to behold Jesus, the Lamb of God, the sacrifice for sin, and with a spirit of grace and of supplication, may we behold him whom we have pierced. Our sins, borne by him upon Calvary's cross, had brought him to this earth to suffer, a bleed and die. O Lord, such knowledge will ever melt our hearts. Lord, will bring forth those tears of mourning over thee, and yet tears of joy, to know the fountain open, that sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Lord, may each of us here tonight know the power of that shed blood that cleanseth from all sin. Lord, there is our joy, there's our rejoicing, there is our peace, there's our comfort, there's our hope. There's our enduring all the days of our earthly life. O Lord, do unite us here tonight by the power of thy Spirit. And O may we know Jesus in the midst, that he be all our glory. O Lord, do not let us just be here this night because of custom and practice, just through simple regularity of attendance upon thy house. But, O Lord, put within us that real desire to hear thy voice, to behold thee by faith, and to receive a token for the good of our soul. Some token of thy special love. Lord, that we are born of God and our treasure is above. So, Lord, come and grant thy blessing upon us here tonight and bless thy holy word. Lord, thy word is a word of truth, the only word of complete truth. And it shall never pass away. Lord, it reveals to us what we are by our nature, guilty sinners. And we can only have hope of eternal life through thy mercy and thy compassion. And that to be found through the merit of Jesus Christ. O Lord, may that ever be the joy, the rejoicing of our heart, to know my Jesus crucified, to by far excel all things beside. Help our friend, Lord, in choosing and giving out the hymns tonight. May there be something there which thou wilt apply and use for the good of our soul. And open up thy word of truth, Lord, to us. For the word is thine, and the power is thine, the Spirit is thine. O Lord, may we be confirmed as thine. Lord, who lead us, we pray, continually, deeper into thy word of truth. Lord, may it ever be written upon the fleshy tables of our heart and be applied such that it is a light to our feet, a lamp to our feet, and a light unto our pathway. Lord, ever keep us looking unto Jesus, the author, finisher of our faith. Remember any, Lord, who would be here tonight if they could. Perhaps detained by sickness or ill health. Lord, we pray that thou wilt draw near to them and hear every prayer put up to thee for thy compassion and thy healing power. Remember those, Lord, who may be detained by business or in education, having to do the work that has been set before them. And Lord, studying for exams, Lord, we commend them to thee. Lord, to grant all needed help and hear those prayers that are put up to thee. O Lord, do watch over all that call upon thee in the time of need. May they know answers to those many prayers. Lord, remember the children and young people. Oh, we commend them to thee, Lord. Oh, the strength of enticements and temptations and attractions in this evil day to leave thy house, thy word, thy people, and to go their own way in this world with all its attractions, yet with all its snares. Oh, we pray, Lord, thou wilt keep them in thy loving care. Put thy spirit within their heart and draw them to love thy word of truth. Lord, ever keep them close to thee and supply all their need, providentially and spiritually. May they grow in wisdom and in stature, and grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord. Lord, in teenage years and adolescence, Lord, we commend them to thee as new responsibilities come, new pathways open up before them. Lord, oh, how they need thy guidance, how they need thy help, how they need the power of thy word, how they have need of faith. Lord, thou canst supply those things, and thou canst call them by grace into the knowledge of thy redeeming love. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt do it. And Lord, do maintain all the churches in our nation and throughout the world. Through the rising generation, Lord, those thou hast called and revealed thy Son, Jesus Christ, in all his glory and power within their heart, to testify of it. And Lord, to become the faithful followers of thee, and help us in the Church of Christ upon this earth. Those mothers in Israel, Lord, those pillars in the churches, deacons, pastors, ministers, Lord, may all be done in accordance with thy sovereign will. And Lord, do strengthen and bring to fruition any exercise that thou hast begun. Lord, be with each one that attends this place here. Lord, remember those who are in business. Help them in these difficult, evil days. Keep them faithful, honest and true in all their dealings. Lord, may it be again and again, as it was with Nehemiah, so did not I, because of the fear of the Lord. O Lord, do help to handle all matters wisely, and to do all to thine honour and glory. Help mothers at home with children. Lord, help them in all their duties and responsibilities. Hear their many prayers, and may they in due time see the fruit of their labours, owned and blessed by thee. Lord, remember all in various duties, responsibilities, cares, in the families. Lord, in all that concerns them, in the church. Lord, in our nation. Lord, we have so many things to bring before thee. Oh, how we prove without thee we can do nothing. Oh, for we are nothing. Lord, do help us in our prayers to bring those hard matters before thee. The matters concerning, Lord, the marriage bond which our government seeks to interfere with. And, oh, to enable it, my Lord, to embrace those abominable relationships. Lord, do not let it come to pass. Bring them to confusion. And give our government wisdom to keep them from the error of those ways. And other things, Lord, that are so contrary to thy word and have an effect upon thy people, as they already have done in various places. O Lord, do have mercy upon us. Hear the prayers of thy people and bring us again into be a nation whose God is the Lord. Lord, thou hast taken from this earth one who was a faithful minister, prime minister. We believe she feared God. O Lord, may the ones now in our cabinet and the Prime Minister be brought into that spot where they fear God. And remember our Queen. Lord, do help her to stand firm and fast for what is right. Her powers are limited under the constitution of this nation. But, O Lord, make her bold and strong and be an influence on our Parliament. Lord, we lay these things before thee. Hear us, Lord, in heaven, thy dwelling place. When thou hearest, O, do forgive. Blot out, Lord, all our transgressions. Do yet love us freely. We ask it in the name of Jesus. And for his sake alone. Amen.
Let us continue with hymn 780, verse 6 to the end. Faith, when void of works, is dead. This the Scriptures witness. And what works have I to plead, who am all unfitness? All my powers are depraved, blind, perverse, and filthy. If from death I'm fully saved, why am I not healthy? 780, verse 6 to the end.
Dear friends, following the singing of that hymn, I wonder if you need a sermon from me. What a truth is contained in those verses, compend, I believe, through the help and influence of the Spirit in the heart and soul of Joseph Hart. May the Lord use it to the good of your soul. But may the Lord help us as we would turn to his word. And may he open it up to our heart, our understanding, and grant some application of it. And ask your prayerful attention by way of a text to the chapter we read in the first book of Kings, chapter 19, and the last few words of verse 9. First book of Kings, chapter 19, the last words of verse 9. What doest thou here, Elijah? What doest thou here, Elijah? A question asked by Almighty God to this man, Elijah. Now, there's no doubt that Elijah was a man of God. He was a great man of faith, a man of obedience and courage. But he was also a son of Adam's race and not a perfect man. Dear friends, we do not find amongst all these great men of God, these great witnesses of the truth in Scripture. We do not find any of them perfect in their earthly nature, do we? And so many of these things are left on record for our learning. There's no grounds, is there at all, upon which we can lift up and boast our own selves. No matter what it is that the Lord has done for us. This man Elijah, he's suddenly introduced in the Scripture, isn't he, in this book of Kings. Elijah the Tishbite. That's all he's called, Elijah the Tishbite, of Gilead, no doubt of the tribe of Manasseh. But the Lord was with him. And the Lord had a great work for Elijah to do. He lived upon this earth in those dreadful days of King Ahab, the ungodly king. And not only did he see fit to continue in those dreadful ways of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, with all the idolatry there in Israel, but he married Jezebel, the daughter of the king of the Zidonians, whose worship was of Baal. And oh, the influence he had upon him, and the influence they had upon Israel together, to cast out the worship of the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the living God, the only true God, and to worship the false idol, Baal. Oh, dear friends, what influence there is today, isn't there, in our wicked nation, to turn aside from the word of God. How we need much prayer that we be kept faithful, kept upright, kept by faith, believing in Christ and the Word of God. You know, without him we shan't be able to do it. No matter what our upbringing. Oh, how many fell under the influence of Ahab and Jezebel. But this man Elijah, the courage, the boldness, in obedience to the word of the Lord, went unto Ahab, declaring there would be no rain, there would be a drought for 3.5 years, until Elijah gave the word again. Then in obedience to the Lord, he went down to the brook Cherith, where the Lord supplied his need, fed by the ravens and watered by the brook, until that dried up. You know, dear friends, no matter how close we are to the ways of God and obedient to his word, when the judgment of God comes on out to a nation on account of sin, all people will be subject to it. All will be affected by that solemn hand and judgment of God. But the Lord provides. He sent Elijah to Zarephath, outside Israel, to the far north. Whether he'd been there before, we don't know. Or where he was going, how to get there, we don't know. But he obeyed. And by faith, he was led there. And there was that widow woman to sustain him. Met him outside of the city, gathering those sticks. Nothing happens by chance, does it? To those who walk in the ways of the Lord in obedience to his word. There was no reasoning in Elijah's mind, was there? Why this? Why have I got to go up there? Oh, that's outside of Israel. How shall I find it? You know how your reasoning mind works, don't you, when we come to take some particular path of life. We're given over to fear, but not Elijah. Oh, this true obedience of faith. And prosperity with it. Although it seemed impossible, nothing is impossible with God. Sustained by that small amount of provision which that woman had. The end, as it were, of her stock of meal and a little oil. But maintained throughout those 3.5 years to provide for her, for Elijah, and for her son. He won't touch upon the amazing miracle of the son being brought back to life by Elijah, but how the Lord uses his people to the good of those under his sovereign will. It was for the good of that widow's soul, wasn't it? Now I know, thou art a man of God. And there he stayed until he returned, as the Lord spake to him, to go back and speak unto Ahab, obedient to the Lord, fearing nothing. And there speaking to Ahab, that he should gather all people unto Mount Carmel, and to show who is the true God. All the Baal's priests came there, and there, you know, the trial there of the sacrifices, that those sacrifices be laid on altars, and the God who answered by fire, let him be God. And so they agreed to it. Elijah mocking those priests of Baal. Perhaps he's on a journey, perhaps he's asleep. And no answer at all. But when Elijah had built that altar, even dousing it with water, when Elijah prayed that prayer of faith, so the Lord sent down that fire, consumed the sacrifice, and the people cried out, "The Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God." And they slew the priests of Baal by the brook Kedron, and there, dear friends, a change was brought about. Elijah remained there praying that the Lord would now send rain. It was a trial of his faith, wasn't it? It didn't come straight away. But oh, Elijah's faith to his servant, "Go again 7 times. Look out to the sea, and there was that cloud as a man's hand, a small cloud. There's a sound of an abundance of rain." All this faith of Elijah. Obedience. Doing the will of God. And then he hastens even before Ahab to the gates of Jezreel, as the rain poured down from the sky. Then Ahab told Jezebel everything, what Elijah had done. And all the hatred in the heart of this woman. "Go and tell Elijah, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not my life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." That message was brought to Elijah, and he fled for his life. Oh, what a change in a moment. As it were the same day, from great faith. Faith in God to fear of this woman. That he fled in unbelief that the Lord could sustain him. Dear friends, we stand amazed, don't we, at the word of God and these accounts that are written here. But dear friends, there's teaching in these things. Oh, may the Lord apply them to us. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul writes, doesn't he, to the Corinthians, "He that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall." Lest he fall. Dear friends, do you think you stand? Do I think I stand? Or whilst all things are going well, we shall perhaps say we shall never be moved from that hope we have in Jesus Christ. Dear friends, don't boast. Don't trust in your own strength. Take heed lest ye fall. Satan is a mighty foe, and he has many mighty agents in this world. Suddenly, in a moment, Elijah fell from great faith to fear and unbelief. Wasn't it the same with Peter? So bold, so clear. He was even willing to go to the death with Jesus Christ. But in a moment, when he felt his life was threatened, in being accused of one of Jesus' disciples, and would be taken and accused with him, he denied all with oaths and curses. Dear friends, that's the same with us today. We have no strength at all in and of ourselves. We're the sons, aren't we, of Adam and daughters of Adam. And how easily Adam and Eve fell under the temptation of Satan. Oh, what did Elijah do at this time? Now, friend, he went his own way. He went his own way. He did that which he felt was best for him, to flee from the wrath of this woman in fear. Now, friends, the fear of man here was greater than the fear of God. We don't read that Elijah even prayed to commit this matter unto the Lord. And so he hastened his own way and fled many, many, many miles south to Beersheba in the south of Judah. Dear friends, that didn't deliver him from his fear, did it? You know, we find that when anyone deviates from the way of the Lord who has blessed them and been merciful to them, and then they fall and they flee and they go their own way, it doesn't deliver them from that fear. Why, Elijah came to such a solemn place that he wanted to die. So great was his depression. Everything was against him. You know, dear friends, when we move away from the ways of God, ways that are of faith, we move away from and we go by our own reasoning, understanding our own sight, doing that which we believe is right and best for us. Don't be surprised if that brings us into great depression and into great straits. There's no blessing in it. It was with David, wasn't it, when he fled hastily from King Saul, fleeing through Nob unto the land of the Philistines, believing in his own self that being amongst the enemy of Saul, he would be safe. But there he came into great distress, fearing for his life. Oh, dear friends, how solemn if we are brought to fall and leave, depart from the ways of God, and lean to our own understanding. Lean to our own understanding. Troubled and affected by the fear of man. A prayerless journey, isn't it? Dear friends, what a mercy we find here. That although Elijah had so fallen under this sore temptation, this sore trial, the Lord did not leave him. The Lord sent an angel to give him a food for his journey. The journey is too great for thee. The journey is too great for thee. It was bringing him to the borders of death, in great depression and despair. Dear friends, that does not mean to say the Lord was condoning the way Elijah went. Dear friends, the Lord is a merciful God to his people. He's a preserver and keeper of his saints. They cannot depart this life until the Lord permits, until the Lord's time comes. Oh, how great is our God. Dear friends, it may be that some of you tonight are not walking in the ways the Lord would have you go. Perhaps you've departed from a particular circumstance of life or pathway of life, and you fled because of the trouble, the fear, or whatever it was that caused you to flee, but it was in your own understanding. Dear friends, there'll be no blessing in it. There'll be no prosperity in it. And you might have said, oh, but the Lord has given me some help. Yes, he may have given you some help. That's because of his mercies, his compassion. It's of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. Because his compassions, they fail not. They're new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. What a merciful, gracious God we have. And that through the love of Jesus Christ. But he knows the way we take. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. His eye is ever upon his people. And he does supply their need. Elijah had a need. To uphold and strengthen him in the way he was going, even though it was his own way. The Lord was still mindful of him. And dear friends, that's our great encouragement, our great hope, isn't it? That in spite of what we are of ourselves, even in our faults and all our many failings, the Lord is faithful that hath promised, I will never leave thee. Nor forsake thee. Oh, our faith may have failed. Our obedience may have failed. Our courage may have failed. Our unbelief may have risen up and have the control over us. But he changes not. He changes not. And Elijah went in the strength of that meat, 40 days, 40 nights. What he did for those 40 days or 40 nights, we're not told, because from where he was, it's not 40 days, in a straight line down to Horeb where he went. But how he must have wandered about, not knowing where he was going. And we do, don't we? When we're left to our own ways and the circumstances of life in our own wisdom and understanding, we do wander about, not knowing where we are going. The Lord is not with us. And that brings us into more despair, doesn't it? Elijah, perhaps so greatly tried, the Lord had forsaken him. The Lord had left him. Left him to be under the power of this woman whom he was fleeing from. And there was no one else left upon this earth who knew his way or knew his case. He was so alone. But when he came to that cave, a sort of a physical refuge, a natural refuge where he could shelter, the word of the Lord came to him there. What doest thou here, Elijah? What doest thou here? Elijah had his answer, he had his reason. He knew why he was fleeing. He said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. There he was, boasting, upholding himself, what he'd done. He'd been faithful. He'd done what the Lord had asked him to do. Oh, but the children of Israel have forsaken the covenant. They've thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. Therefore I'm fleeing in this way. Justified of his own self. Why he was where he was. Dear friends, that's our nature, isn't it? To justify ourselves. In whatever pathway of life we choose. And direct ourselves to go. But all our hearts within us, how deceitful they are, aren't they? Desperately wicked. And how it when it rises to the surface like it did here in poor Elijah. Only trouble comes. But the Lord was yet mindful of his chosen one. Oh, this faithfulness of God. He instructs him to go and stand. Go and stand at the face of the cave. Stand upon the mount before the Lord. Leave your refuge where you found a bit of comfort. Before Elijah could get there, we read of the wind and the earthquake and the fire. And the Lord wasn't in it. Now, dear friends, that was the power of God, but the Lord wasn't in it. And you know, dear friends, when we come to a particular place in accordance as the Lord's long-suffering love permits us to go in our wanderings, Don't be surprised if there comes those solemn things of the hand of God. The threatenings, the troubles that arise, great winds, earthquakes, fires. All through the Lord's mercy they don't descend upon you. But you see the hand of God there in all his power and all his might, and he is not in it. He's not with you in it. That brings you to fear, doesn't it? A greater fear than the fear of that woman who had threatened one's life there. Here was God Almighty with all his power at his command. Dear friend, that humbles a soul. Brings one to realise again one's foolishness of departing from that trust in the living God. He is almighty, he is powerful. No one can do anything beyond what he permits. And having shown Elijah that power, there's then that still small voice. Oh, what an effect that had now on Elijah. Not a voice of judgment, not a voice of condemnation, not a voice declaring his foolishness, just that question asked again. What doest thou here, Elijah? What doest thou here? And Elijah gives the same answer. The Lord tells him to go and return. No, Elijah, that reasoning is not true. That's your own understanding. Everything is in my control. You are not alone. Oh, I've left 7,000 in Israel who have not bowed the knee to Baal or kissed him. You know, dear friends, when we come to the reasoning of our own mind, lead to our understanding, we believe it's all the truth, don't we? But we don't know all the facts at all, do we? There's only one who knows all things. And that's the Lord. Therefore, if we depart from trusting in him and committing the matter unto him before we act, dear friends, we are walking out a lie. We're walking out that which is not true. Oh, you see, our hearts has deceived us. That's why the scripture says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding. How often we do that, don't we? Lean to our own understanding. No, Elijah, you're not your own. You're not on your own. There's that 7,000 that are there. And beside that, we could say this, dear friends, couldn't we? What about those on Mount Carmel who had changed their allegiance from Baal, saying, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. Oh, how they would need the support of Elijah to stand for them in that change, to out the worship of Baal and bring back again the worship of God. But Elijah had fled. Oh, dear friends, how foolish we can behave, can't we, when left to ourselves and the fear of man, and not commit our ways unto the Lord, trust also in him, for he to bring it to pass. What doest thou here, Elijah? You're in a place where you shouldn't be. Go return. There's still some work for you to do. Your life is spared. I have not dealt with you after your sins. I haven't rewarded you according to your iniquities. A return again. And Elijah, in faith, trusting in this gracious God, their friends went, returned in the way the Lord would have him go, and called Elisha, found him there. And as we read, so Elisha, in accordance with the will of God, to be the prophet after Elijah for the good of his people. All the circumstances are in the Lord's hand. Oh, dear friends, what application has this got to us? Well, I trust I've spoken of some applications that may be there. What doest thou here, Elijah? Your pathway of life. Are you walking in the way the Lord would have you go? Can you say truly from the depths of your heart, yes, I am here where the Lord would have me. I'm in that vocation of my life where the Lord would have me go. I'm in the place, I'm in those circumstances which he hath brought me into. And dear friends, the Lord bless you there. The Lord grant you his prosperity. Oh, it was so, wasn't it, with Solomon when he built the temple which was in accordance with the will of God. Dear friend, Solomon was strengthened, wasn't he, by the power of God when he prayed for wisdom and for the Lord's help, and the Lord granted it to him. And Solomon obeyed the Lord and did as David, his father, had commanded him. For the Lord had showed David where that temple was to be built. And there he built it with all the provision made for it, and he prayed earnestly. And oh, the lovely prayer which we read earlier in this book from 1 Kings in chapter 8. But at the end of his prayer, Solomon blessed the people. He says, the Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us, nor forsake us, that we may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. That he may incline our hearts unto him. Oh, dear friends, there's our hope, there's our trust. There's our prosperity. And that's the way of faith, isn't it? Oh, how we need to pray earnestly for the Lord to maintain us and increase our faith. To trust in him at all times. When those trials of life come, those troubles, those difficulties, those things that arise suddenly, and we fear and we dread, and we have an earthly heart, don't we? We have an earthly spirit, we have an earthly being. And we'll turn about and flee from them as fast as we can. And do what we believe is best for us, right in our sight. And we have not asked at the mouth of God. Dear friends, there's no prosperity in those ways. There's no blessing. Things can only get worse and worse as we flee further from the way the Lord would have us go. Oh, may this be our cause, may this be our prayer, our desire, that he may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments. Perhaps slightly out of context, dear friends, but the application of this question: what doest thou here? What doest thou here? Why are you here tonight? Are you in the way the Lord would have you go? Are you exactly in the way the Lord would have you to do? You say, well, I'm here to hear the word of the Lord. Well, the Lord bless it to you. But haven't we sung in that hymn, which we've sung in two parts? I think it was the first verse of the second part. Faith, when void of works, is dead. This the scriptures witness. And what works have I to plead, who am all unfitness? No, we've got no works to plead for our goodness, have we? But there is the doing of the will of God. Oh, dear friends, if we believe the Lord has placed us in his house, if we believe the Lord has led us, and we've had those sweet times, when the precious word of truth has been revealed to us, and we by faith have had a glimpse, as it were, of Jesus, the truth. He shed blood on Calvary. That redeeming love shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. The Word of God, the Gospel in power, in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Oh, we hardly wanted to leave the house of God to go home, in case we lost the sweetness of it, the blessing of it. And now you come to hear more of this truth. And you love that which agrees with your experience and the application of the Lord's love to your soul. And to give strength sufficient for another day. Oh, for faith to be increased. Oh, to know more of what the Lord has done for you. Then what does the Lord say? If ye love me, keep my commandments. An expression, a witness of that love within your heart. That's what the scriptures declare. Oh, what doest thou here? Are you here for only part of the gospel, only part of the ministry, only part of the ways? Is there a fear? Is there a fear of that what might come to pass? Is there a fear of declaring openly that love of Christ unto your soul? Dear friends, fear is a dreadful thing, isn't it? It was a dreadful thing with Elijah, yes, a completely different context. But it was fear where he could not completely trust in the Lord his God to be obedient in faith unto him. Oh, what promises we have to those who obey the Lord. Our mind goes to, just briefly I suppose, to Joshua. Now Joshua was blessed. In him was a different spirit. A different spirit. And the Lord called Joshua to stake the children of Israel into the promised land after the death of Moses. A particular way the Lord would have him go. And Joshua obeyed. How did he go forward? And the Lord. The Lord was with him. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before you. He will not fail you. Oh, let me read that lovely verse in Deuteronomy exactly, in case I hinder the application of it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Joshua went forward in the strength of that. It wasn't an easy pathway for him, was it? But as long as he trusted in the Lord, dear friends, he progressed, he prospered. Oh, what doest thou here, Elijah, going in the way of the Lord? Elijah wasn't, was he? And he was in great trouble. The Lord in mercy restored him. He said, return. Is there any of you, dear friends, here tonight who need such a word as that? Return. Oh, the Lord hath blessed you. The Lord hath been mindful of you. You love him because he first loved you. Then, oh, for those fears to be overcome. The increase in faith, that you may have true prosperity. And the Lord, he it is, that doth go before you. Well, may the Lord search us out with his word. Let me not multiply words, lest I take away anything the Lord may apply. The Lord search us out through this question. What doest thou here, Elijah? Amen.
Mr. God willing, Mr. Jempson's expected next Lord's Day, and Mr. Sayers next Wednesday evening. Let us close with hymn 806, the first part. Christ is the friend of sinners, be that forgotten never. A wounded soul and not a whole becomes a true believer. To see sin smarts but slightly, to own with lip confession is easier still, but oh, to feel cuts deep beyond expression. 806.
And if, Lord, we depart from those ways which are right in thy sight, O Lord, may we hear thy voice. Lord, that voice of love and mercy that brings us to our senses and causes us to return and to walk humbly before thee in all thy ways. O Lord, may that be our prosperity in this our earthly life, and to know the faithfulness of thy promises, that thou wilt never leave nor forsake, to go before us, to be with us, to supply all our need. O Lord, grant thou such blessing upon us each. Lord, remember thy people here. Grant prosperity in this cause of truth. And be with us now as we separate. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.